540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Hamas says it's close to an agreement with Israel on a temporary truce so aid can be brought into the Gaza Strip and a swap of hostages for prisoners can take place. A Hamas official told Al Jazeera TV that the agreement would include the release of Israeli women and children in exchange for Palestinian women and children. Meanwhile, at the largest hospital in Gaza, conditions are dire. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb has more from Jerusalem.
Desperately ill premature babies after being evacuated from northern Gaza City's devastated Al-Shifa Hospital over the weekend have now crossed into Egypt for badly needed treatment. A team from the World Health Organization visited Al-Shifa and described the hospital, now under Israeli control, as a death zone.
No injuries are reported after a huge U.S. Navy warplane with 9 people on board overshot the runway at Marine Corps Base Hawaii and fell into the ocean. Tucker Hills lives nearby.
A bunch of sirens, so I went outside and I saw like 4 fire trucks pass the house and an ambulance. And then like 10 minutes later, I got a text from my dad saying that apparently a plane crashed.
A 3-judge panel of the 8th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled yesterday, 2-1, that individuals and organizations do not have the right to sue under the Federal Voting Rights Act. CBS News election law contributor David Becker says the ruling contradicts Supreme Court rulings.
Through decades, over 50 years, and even very recently, just within the last year, the Supreme Court has heard cases brought by private plaintiffs under the Voting Rights Act and have awarded relief to private plaintiffs.
A SWAT standoff in San Bernardino County, California has ended after a suspect's home caught on fire and burned down. Sheriff's deputies say they were fired on when they tried to serve a search warrant at the home mid-afternoon yesterday. The standoff continued for about 6 hours before the house burned down. The suspect's condition hasn't been released. Monday was Transgender Day of Remembrance.
26 transgender Americans' lives were taken this year. In a statement, President Biden said there is no place for hate America, and no one should be discriminated against simply for being themselves. He said today we are reminded we must recommit ourselves to never stop fighting until all Americans can live free from discrimination. Stacey Lynn, CBS News, the White House.
A judge in Los Angeles has ruled that there is enough evidence for hip-hop performer ASAP Rocky to stand trial. He's been charged with firing a semi-automatic weapon at a former friend and collaborator outside a hotel in Hollywood in 2021. Rocky has pleaded not guilty. This is CBS News.
You don't need a job platform. You need a hiring partner. Indeed lets you schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credits.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credits parents use to pay for childcare. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed $1 billion boost to workforce programs and childcare. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. Lawyers for the map supporters are expected to argue that contiguous has different meanings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Badgers basketball gets past Virginia. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Wisconsin men's basketball team advancing to the final round of the Fort Myers tip-off tournament by beating Virginia 65-41 in Florida, a better showing than their performance at home against Robert Morris University. Badgers guard Chucky Hepburn.
You know, coming off that Robert Morris game, you know, we knew we had to fix things fast because we were going to play a great team like Virginia. And we locked in practice Saturday and Sunday. We were able to really lock in defensively, and that showed today.
So the Badgers will face SMU in the final round of the tournament, 7:30 tomorrow night. NBA, today. The Milwaukee Bucks with a 5-game winning streak last night in Washington. It was the Bucks 142-129 over the Wizards. Adrian Griffin describes Giannis scoring 42 points.
Unstoppable. Man, he was in his rhythm tonight. He's unstoppable.
That's the Bucks head coach, Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 36, northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely 39. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinere.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Thank you so much for joining us. Greg Bach is here with me in the studio. Calvin is on the board. And we are joined by our guest, Alan Borsick, who is a longtime education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And you can always text, if you like, at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Party.
Alan, how are you? We haven't seen you in a while.
I'm glad to be here. I'm okay.
Good. Great to see you. The reason we wanted to have you on is because of this bipartisan plan moving its way through the legislature that would exempt teachers from having to pass the Foundations of Reading test before going into the classroom so they could get licensed without demonstrating they can effectively teach children the science of reading. Now, you know a lot more about this than I do, so I'm curious as to whether or not you think this is a good idea or not.
Well, sometimes I doubt I know much about it at all, but I'll try. Is this a good idea? That's a complicated question. The history of FORT, as it's called, the Foundations of Reading Test, is very interesting. In short, Massachusetts, starting in the mid-90s, did a number of things aimed at improving performance of students in reading, put in high school graduation test, and they began testing teachers to see if they had the knowledge of how to teach the material they were supposed to be teaching in their classrooms. And it was quite successful. Reading scores and math scores shot up. Massachusetts went to the top of the nation in short order within a decade when it came to what's the main measure of these things, which is called the National Assessment of Educational Progress. In the meantime, Wisconsin was sitting there not making any gains. To this day, it's now been 30 years almost, Wisconsin really hasn't seen any gains in reading. So in the early 2010s, I think it was officially in 2014, Wisconsin adopted the test that Massachusetts had come up with so that reading teachers had, and any teacher who was teaching reading to kids had to show they had some knowledge of the subject. I think if you talk to a lot of teachers, they'll tell you they came out of college with teaching degrees and hadn't been taught two things. One is how to teach a specific subject, and the other was how to manage a classroom. In Massachusetts, they were really serious about using this test to determine whether teachers were ready. Frankly, Wisconsin was never that serious about it. The institutions of higher education immediately began, most of them figuring out how they could get around making changes in their programs and what were loopholes in this. In general, there just wasn't much pressure to change, and a lot of pressure to figure out how to get around this, which is what happened. A lot of loopholes opened up. there were particular problems. There was a high failure rate for candidates for teaching. There was a disproportionate failure rate for minorities. And I remember the then superintendent of public education, a guy by the name of Tony Evers, telling me 6-7 years ago, well, we got to get these teachers in the classroom. We want to diversify the teaching force. Well, they didn't really do anything to like fix this. So now we're at a point where the failure rates are high. We need lots of teachers. Schools are short. So let's just get rid of this. And my feeling is, well, okay, but wait, what about our teachers qualified to teach reading to kids when reading scores are so bad? Now, there's one important addition. Wisconsin has a new reading law, which was passed in July. It was signed by the governor in July, so 5 months ago. And that law requires all teachers to take different training. It doesn't specify exactly what, but there's a couple kinds that are particularly popular, and much more stressing of phonics, as it's called, and some of the sounding out words. So maybe that'll offset the failure of Ford. But the biggest thing about Ford is it didn't work, and Wisconsin was never really that serious about using it as a tool to improve. And so getting rid of it probably won't change much because it didn't prove much in the first place.
Ellen Borson.
Too long an answer for you, but that's my
no, no, that's great.
That's exactly what we needed.
Absolutely. Ellen Borson is our guest. He's a longtime education reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we're talking about this bipartisan measure that is working its way through the state legislature that would allow Wisconsin elementary school teachers to get licensed without passing this FORT test, which is to make sure that they know how to teach, how to read. Because for an old person like me, I'm trying to remember back to when I learned how to read. But there is a science to it. It's not like kids just pick this up.
Many kids do pick it up. Let's say 60-70% of kids, you could put them in a closet and they'd walk out as decent readers. It's that other 30%, which tend to be concentrated, but not entirely, in low-income and minority school districts. There's kids in rich districts who are doing poorly. Overall, Wisconsin has a real reading crisis. It's had it for many years. The scores for Black kids in Wisconsin are the worst in the nation. The gap between white kids and Black kids is the worst in the nation. And even apart from breaking things out by race, a third of the kids in the state read below basic, which is not good. Their new test scores that just came out in the last few weeks, and they were no improvement. The pandemic set things back, but there was a huge problem before the pandemic. So this isn't news. What's new is trying to change things around it, which Fort certainly didn't do, and maybe the science of reading law will, which with its emphasis on teaching kids basics of good reading practice.
Do you think too, Ellen, that are we just not, as parents, are we just not reading to our kids as much as we used to? Because that was so formative for me, having my mother read to me, having my mother take me to the library, even my dad, you know, those special moments where you get to sit on his lap and he's, you know, reading you a book. I think that's critically important to instill instill a love of reading in kids.
We certainly live in a less book-oriented world than when you or I or any of us grew up. You know, everyone's on screens and the social media and so on. Text messaging, which is not really a good way to learn how to read.
No.
They're not typing words.
No, exactly.
And I'm all in favor of parents reading to their kids. I did to my kids. I read to my grandkids now. And it's very sweet and it's very special. It isn't actually very big factor in teaching kids to read. There's a guy at the University of Wisconsin-Madison named Mark Seidenberg, who's one of the leading experts on how the brain processes reading things, and a bit of a contrarian. And one of the things he says, I'm all in favor of parents reading to kids. It actually isn't a way of teaching reading. It's a way of bonding. It's a way of maybe building that love of reading and of books and of being together, but it isn't really teaching reading. So teaching reading is a skill. It's a specialized piece of knowledge. It's difficult. It's complex. For many kids, it's formidable to learn. And it requires knowledge, which is something Fort was supposed to increase and didn't. And maybe the new law will increase. They're going to try.
It just seems kind of backwards. And I understand the need to get more teachers into the classroom. But if they are not prepared to teach these subjects, nothing is going to get better. We have a text from the 541. Why does it feel like some people would rather get rid of education requirements altogether as long as they have somewhere to send their kids for 6 hours a day? Right?
I'm afraid I think that's a good question. I wish it was off base, but there are, I don't know. Do we live in a culture, and I'm talking about maybe even globally, but especially nationwide, that really prizes schools and education and giving kids the things they need academically, socially, emotionally, constructive atmospheres that gives them do we really prize putting the best and brightest teachers in front of our kids in hopes that they'll be the best and brightest? Frankly, that's not a question with a really reassuring answer.
No, it really isn't. When I think back to Act 10 and the way that our teachers in Wisconsin were demonized and made out to be evil people who are glorified babysitters, I still can't wrap my head around that.
I have a question, and please forgive me if this sounds very, very ignorant, but so the state loosening restrictions on regulations isn't something it's not new. In my old job as a barber, I saw that happen. But one of the things I see leaders constantly talking about is how the school is failing. The schools are failing. We need to broaden school choice. We need to get more money into school choice programs. How about it doesn't make sense to me that if you think the schools are failing so hard that you would then loosen the restrictions to make it easier to then, I won't say teach less, but not do the best you can. If anything, it almost seems like the regulation should be tightened so we're creating the best teachers. It's like you're setting it up to fail so you can put up this thing saying school choice is the only way. See, the schools, they can't even teach people how to read. It just seems like a really horrible, I don't want to go conspiracy theory, but it seems like it almost seems like a game.
Well, I agree it's sort of a game, and it's got 1,000 moving parts. So one of them is you need someone in every classroom. So if you're short of teachers, which Wisconsin is chronically, and in certain areas especially, certain subjects, special education, math, science, things like that, you need bodies. So one way to get more bodies is to lower the standards, and you say, oh, you qualify, you have a pulse.
Yeah.
And that does put someone in the classroom. If you raise the bar too high and say you have to be a Harvard graduate to teach, there's not enough Harvard graduates out there. So it's, like I said, there's 1,000 moving parts.
It will be interesting to see.
The school choice subject kind of works into this, but it's bigger than that because it affects all the public schools.
Okay.
Absolutely. Alan Borsig, thank you so very much for joining us. It will be interesting to see what happens with this. It is a bipartisan measure. So we'll keep an eye on it, and hopefully you can join us further down the road as we see what happens with this.
Always glad to be here. I enjoy talking with all of you.
Thank you so much, Alan. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In Interscholastic Sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinair in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg Bach with me in studio. And you can always call and or text at 844-967-2789. If you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, you can leave a comment there as well. Alan Borsick was just here. We were talking. He's a longtime education reporter for the Journal Sentinel. And we were talking about a new bipartisan measure going through the Madison right now that would make elementary school teachers could get licensed without demonstrating they can effectively teach kids the science of reading. This is this FORT exam that Alan was talking about. And again, we do have a crisis. We need more teachers in the classrooms. At the same time, we have a reading crisis in the state. So whether or not this is a great idea, I'm not exactly sure about that. 844-967-2789. Susan is joining us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
Good, thank you. How about yourself?
Oh, good. I was just calling because I have some experience with not teaching, but just with kids in general. I read to all my kids. My mom read to us every night. She would sit before we went to bed. She'd read us a book, you know, a chapter in a book to us. And I think actually the experts are a little bit off on this, because I do think it does create a love for the written word, which is what you want your children to have. And for me, when I go in a bookstore, it's like I'm in this candy shop. But anyway, today I think it's more difficult because kids are not allowed to read what they want to read. So I think children will read if you let them read what they want to read, because then they don't feel like they have to trudge through a book that they're not interested in. And I think that's the biggest takeaway that I have, is that instead of putting a book in front of the kids and saying, you have to read this, if they would rather read a comic book or something else, I think it's better than not reading at all. And so I guess I look at it like it's really helpful to figure out what the kids likes to do and then engage them in those kinds of books instead of saying everyone's going to read this book today, you know. And because I think that's part of the problem, is kids don't enjoy some of the subject matter that they're given to read.
Sure.
So if you can read something you like, then you're going to go forward and read more things. So I think that that's one of the things. And I don't think they should fast track education at all. I think teachers should be held to certain standards, because if you can't teach children properly, it's not going to be helpful for anybody just to say we have more teachers.
Yeah.
It's silly. The biggest thing is that we've driven teachers out of the state. And I have a very good friend who's a teacher. My sister's a teacher, and she's a special ed teacher. And it's a lot of hard work. They invest a lot of time and money in their children.
Yes.
That they teach, and people are not willing to put that out.
Yeah.
We pay our politicians more than we pay our teachers.
Absolutely. Yeah. We in so many ways, Susan, we have our priorities backwards.
Yeah.
Right? You know, who are the highest paid people in our society? Celebrities, athletes, politicians, and CEOs.
Yeah.
Instead of our nurses, instead of our teachers, instead of our firefighters and police officers. And it's distressing. And I agree with you too, Susan, about reading to your kids, just to develop that love of books. Because, you know, there are a whole bunch of adults who still can't read.
Yeah.
And that has a very detrimental effect on the rest of your life. You have to be able to read. Thank you so much, Susan, for calling. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. 844-96- All right, Greg Bach. You watched part of the football game yesterday.
I did. Where's my medal?
I know football is not necessarily your favorite sport. You're a big baseball fan.
I am.
But the Packers did win, squeaked it out.
Yeah.
23-20 over the LA Chargers. Unfortunately, Aaron Jones and Emmanuel Wilson had to be taken off the field. What were your takeaways from that game?
I mean, when I started watching the game in the third period, I was like, oh, the score is very low, but the Packers, I believe, are winning at that time 13-10. And I went to a brewery with a friend, but the TV was showing it. And the next time I looked, it was the game was almost over and it was 23-20. I'm like, where did I miss everything happening? But I mean, especially this season, win's a win.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it was funny because ESPN was showing the various locker rooms celebrating, or Fox was, or whatever channel it was. And all, like, they had the Lions who are doing really well. And I believe the Cowboys are doing well this season too. And then they showed the Packers celebrating like they had just won the Super Bowl. And I'm like, calm down, guys. It's you won.
You
That's
won.
Great.
Yes, you
good
did.
Job.
Good job. Yes.
Everyone gets pizza afterwards, but tamper expectations.
And my sister and I were at the Holiday Folk Fair during the game yesterday. And so when I got home, my husband updated me on the results and he said, yeah, they just barely won this.
Yep.
And this is not going to be the season.
No.
And even next season is probably not going to be the season.
Most of my friends who are really into the Packers and really into football have said that this is, you know, anyone who thought that Jordan Love was going to come through and be the shining light is going to be wrong. Because, and we talked about this with Rami Makhlouf a couple weeks ago. Brett Favre took a year or two to get going.
Absolutely.
Aaron Rodgers took a year. Like, it's just not feasible. And it, like, one side of it, my friends who are fans are like, yeah, this isn't their year. And then some fans are like, well, they're terrible. Well, yeah, they're terrible. You get 30 years of good seasons for the most part.
Oh, yeah.
At the worst, going 8-8. And now all of a sudden reality kicks in and you have your third starting quarterback, like, full time in a long time. Yeah, it's going to be hard to watch.
It's going to be rebuilding.
Just like
for
it's going to be
a couple of years.
Just like it's going to be hard to watch the Brewers now as we lost two more players, and it's just sell the team, Mark. Sell the team.
It's interesting that you say that, because as I was looking at Twitter yesterday, all the Bears fans are saying that about the Bears owner, because they lost again yesterday.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
And the Bears fans that I see on my timeline were losing their minds.
The thing is, like I said, like you said, football ain't my jam. I have a lot of friends who are Bears fans, and they're tired of being terrible every season, or being good and then being like going up and then going crashing down hard. I mean, yeah, there comes a time. And with the Brewers, it's totally like right after Council left, they put out a statement saying everybody's a possible for getting rid of. Like, there's no safe
spot.
There's no safe spot on this team. Got rid of Rowdy Tellez, who wasn't the best player, but he was good and he brought a lot of energy. And then now Woodruff is gone. And yeah, he wasn't going to play next season, but he was one of the best pitchers in the league. So what are we even doing now? Are we a minor league team? I'm really wanting to. Paul Noonan has a great baseball podcast, tailgate podcast. I think you also listened to it. They had a good couple episodes about the Council situation and where they're going from here. So
speaking of Craig Council, when we come back, it's Turkey Pardon Day. And we're going to bring it home to Wisconsin as well.
Those are called context clues, people.
Right, right. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is the Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Some of the hostages being held by Hamas may be released soon. Details from the BBC's Fiona McDonald.
The leader of Hamas, Ismail Haniyeh, says his group is close to reaching a truce with Israel in Gaza. A statement says Hamas had sent its response to Qatar. The country has been mediating talks over the possible release of hostages.
A three-judge panel of federal judges has ruled 2-1 that individuals and organizations can't sue under the Voting Rights Act. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
The issue here is who gets to bring a Section 2 violation of the Voting Rights Act. The Justice Department representing the federal government, or private individuals and groups like the NAACP and ACLU.
Three people have been shot and killed in Custer County, Colorado, southwest of Colorado Springs. Police are looking for the shooter, who they say was at one time involved in a property dispute with one of the victims. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Don't change the station, but do watch out for deer, would ya? You know, they're running around all willy-nilly. It is the Krebscast with me, Charlie Behrens, on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The athletic director at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville has died. The university did not provide details Monday, only that Christina Navarro-Krupka was pregnant and her death was unexpected. Navarro-Krupka grew up in Madison and was in her fourth year as director of athletics and assistant chancellor at Platteville. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Luke Berg is with the Conservative Institute for Law and Liberty. He says there's an easy fix to claims that non-contiguous districts are unconstitutional.
If you were simply to take the islands and put them in the districts that surround them, it would eliminate the contiguity problem and you wouldn't have any population problems in the existing map.
Berg was on Upfront on WISN-TV. The map's challengers will argue that the way the maps were drawn was unconstitutional. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely overnight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 36, northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, scattered rain showers likely 39.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Come on, let's turkey.
morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Nice job on the tune there, Calvin. He's running the board. And you can always call or text in at 844-967-2789, 844-96.
Fiesta!
No.
Oh, party.
Party. Yes, party. Thank you very much. A couple of things I want to remind you, if you are going to be traveling this holiday weekend, big travel day is going to be Wednesday, according to the Transportation Administration. So you're going to have lots and lots of company on the roads. Weather around here, I think, looks pretty good, but we are going to find out more tomorrow because our civic media meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, is going to join us to talk travel conditions for your Turkey Day plans.
Are you telling me it's time to whine about the weather?
Or it's wine and weather.
I like whining about the weather.
Brittany's wonderful.
She's great.
We can talk about her barometer collection. It's very exciting.
See if it's grown or shrank.
Exactly. So also make sure to download the Civic Media app. If you're going to be on the road, you can download podcasts. You can download the app. It's free. Go to your app store, look for the Civic Media app, and you can listen to all the shows across the Civic Media network. You can also call or text directly from the app, which is pretty cool. Today, President Biden turns 81.
Happy birthday, Joe.
The oldest president in U.S. history.
Oh, man.
It is also a tradition on this date of the pardoning of the turkeys, the presidential turkey pardon. The president said today, quote, "This is the 76th anniversary of this event, and I want you to know I wasn't there for the first one."
All right.
He pardoned Liberty and Belle. The two turkeys came from a flock in Minnesota. They actually stay in a hotel room.
And I pay for it.
We all pay for it.
Yep.
And I did not realize this, but this started in 1947, the tradition of giving a president a turkey for his family to eat. That started in 1947. And then eventually, when John F. Kennedy was president, when JFK was president, he was uncomfortable with the whole, we're going to eat the bird. So he decided to give him the day off.
So did they not eat any turkey at all?
JFK broke the tradition of giving the presidential family a turkey to eat in 1963. At the time, he said, quote, "I think we'll just let this one grow," because the turkey that had been presented to him had a sign around its neck that said, "Good eating, Mr. President."
Oh, God.
Yeah. So that was how it started.
But I want to know why it now has two. There's now two turkeys.
No idea.
Calvin, do you know why?
He doesn't know why either. There was a close call during the Bush administration, George W. Bush, when Barney, his Scottish terrier, almost got a hold of the bird. That wouldn't have been.
It's called the circle of life, baby. Get on board.
That wouldn't have been a good look with all of the press there.
Could you imagine that happened today, though? Even though that was, 20 years ago? That would have been seen like, oh my gosh, the horror, I can't believe it. And we'd be laughing now, but like, oh gosh, that's terrible. Now they'd be like, Joe Biden's dogs hate America. They hate freedom.
And they love turkey.
They love turkey, but they don't love America.
And this has grown now. So now governors are doing this.
Oh, God.
Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer brought the tradition to Michigan in 2022, pardoning turkey named Mitchie Gander. Get it? Michigander.
Oh, got it.
Michigander.
So dumb.
Alabama has been pardoning turkeys for decades. This year they were Clyde and Henrietta. Nobody really knows why.
See, I like those names.
Clyde and Henrietta?
Yeah, those sound like turkey names. Liberty and Belle? No, it sounds like a... No.
In East Texas, their turkey is named Dolly Parton. The turkey is named Dolly because she's a strong female role model.
In Texas?
And a tribute to our Southern roots, and she's a very strong literacy advocate.
In Texas. All right. I'm just going to swim in the irony of that situation.
Dolly will live out her days at the Believe in Vegan Ranch somewhere in Texas. Well, we started thinking about pardoning turkeys. And turkeys closer to home.
And turkey necks.
And turkey necks. Should Craig Counsell be pardoned for leaving the Brewers to go to the Cubs? 844-967-2789. 844-96.
Party.
In the spirit of pardoning day, should Craig Counsell be pardoned for what some have said is betrayal?
Oh, my God.
What do you think? You are a diehard Brewers
fan. You're asking me?
Yes, I am asking
you. People aren't going to like this. He's committed no crime.
Ooh.
He's committed absolutely no crime. The worst thing he needs to do, the most he needs to do is maybe call up the Cubs' former coach and say, sorry about that.
Again,
he got fired after Craig Counsell was hired. If he would have been fired beforehand, but you got a job and then all of a sudden you see and they're like, hey, he's got my job.
But is that on Craig Counsell? Isn't that on Cubs management?
Craig Counsell is a very big proponent I got this actually by listening to Paul Noonan's podcast. Craig Counsell is very much about the union aspect of baseball, being there for the players, being there for the people who are involved. And that's not very exemplary to go into a job. Like that's the only thing. If I was Craig Counsell, I'd be like, hey, drop your man first and then announce me. But the fact that happened so quickly and like it overlapped, that's the only part that isn't cool. I don't even care that he went to the Cubs. That bums me out, but it doesn't make me go, he owes me an apology.
He's a traitor.
He had to go where the money was, where the support was, where the, you know, and it's close to home.
What works for his family?
He's a Midwestern guy. So do we have a call?
844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Should Craig Counsell be pardoned for leaving the Brewers to go join the Cubs? Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning, Karina. How do you feel about pardons?
Hi, I'm back. About the turkey, very quick, guys. And I think we had that conversation before. Never understood Americans. Why would they eat something, the turkey, which will save their life, according to the history lore? I mean, in any other country, it would become a whole animal. But in America, they just eat it more of it. So that never understood. And pardoning for what? Isn't it the all these teams are a corporate? Do you have a hard feeling when the CEO get fired and another one get hired? No. So it's a job. He got promotion. He got better job. What's wrong with you people?
All right, Karina. I feel like I'm on your side, but you're still mad at me.
No, I'm not mad at anybody. I just don't understand why people are so... I mean, this is the players. They playing. They have a trainers or coaches or whatever it is. But ultimately, look at this. They're trading those players like a stock. So why wouldn't they do the same thing with coaches? It's just a job.
I don't disagree with you, Karina. Not at all. But I do think there are some fans who take this very, very personally, and feel like that's like when Favre went to the Vikings and Rodgers went to the Jets. And there are just some folks who really take it personally as a betrayal, even though you're right, it is a job.
And
as far as getting fired and then immediately replaced in radio, my friend, I had a partner at one time who I knew was going to be fired because they had me take photographs, promotional photographs, with my new co-host before they fired him.
That's terrible. That's a terrible thing to do. That's not excusable. But that
happens in a lot of situations.
I don't care. It's stupid and mean and awful. And I don't like it. I don't care if it happens anywhere. It's just, I don't like it. You have, but my point is like, this has nothing to do with the corporation or the business. This has to do with the person. And Craig Counsell has an attitude of like, we are part of this baseball family. We are part of this team. We need to be represented. We need to be taken care of. If I was Craig Counsell, I would have said, hey, you still have a coach. Fire him. 48 hours later, announce me. But they didn't do that. And that, to me, is the only thing Craig Council is responsible for. Other than that, and by the way, anybody listening to me doesn't agree, I'll find you a company that will pay you $8 million a year to do a job, and I'm going to see how quickly you're going to run to it.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 541, only pardon him if he dresses up as a turkey. What about Mark Attanasio?
Oh, throw him into the lake. So with a flotation device.
No pardon for Mark Attanasio?
No, because he's been doing this for years. He's been cultivating a really terrible culture in that place. I just think so. I think by cutting funds, forcing David Stearns to work out the last of his contract instead of letting him go, which was seen in baseball as really unprofessional and just not cool.
Really?
David Stearns wanted out of the Brewers organization. And he gave his notice, and they said, no, you got to be here until the end of your contract. And he hated being here, and it showed. So Mark Attanasio can go run soccer teams, and he can go be a part of whatever, but he just needs to sell this team off and let either the current owners group, I think there are 17 altogether, or find a majority shareholder who wants to see this team flourish. He doesn't. He doesn't at all. He's going to get his way on the stadium deals, probably sell the team. He's going to run off. Do his thing. But I just think that he is toxic for this organization.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So no pardon for Mark Attanasio.
No, he's a billionaire. He gets justice eludes those people.
844-967-2789. Mark from the SAC checking in, listening. Yes. Turkeys are an all-American native bird, but they are named after the country of Turkey. If I remember right, it was called after they had been imported to Turkey, then popularized as the bird from Turkey, like so many New World foods the world now uses. I am not a big fan of turkey.
Is he saying that, or did you just say that?
No, I said that.
You're not a big fan of turkey?
I am not a big fan of
Why?
Turkey. Because I think it's tasteless. The best part of Thanksgiving is the stuffing.
I would go stuffing and mashed potatoes.
And gravy.
No, we like a garlic mashed potatoes with at least a little bit of butter, just a little bit of butter, but you don't need the gravy for this stuff.
Oh,
no, I love stuffing too. Don't get me wrong. I love stuffing. I like turkey if it's, you know,
not too dry,
if it's cooked correctly, you know, it shouldn't need gravy either.
Gravy's one of the best parts of Thanksgiving.
Oh, I know, but you shouldn't have to. It's like my whole thing with seafood. I don't think anybody actually likes seafood. I think they like sauce. If you're shrimp without sauce, it's disgusting. You throw it in some cocktail sauce, it's amazing. But no one wants crab. They want butter. No one wants a salad. They want ranch.
I think you might be onto something there.
I'm very onto something here. Trust me, there's a whiteboard in my basement lots of good points.
Well, tomorrow, as we get closer to Thanksgiving on Thursday, because we will not be here on Thursday and Friday, just to give you a heads up, we are going to be running a carefully curated best of program this coming Thursday and Friday. But again, you can listen on the app, whatever. But tomorrow we're going to talk about vetoes and vetoing a dish from the Thanksgiving table.
Vetoes.
Vetoes.
I thought you meant like a restaurant. Like, we're going to talk about vetoes. Great pizza.
Oh, vetoes.
Love it.
No, not vetoes pizza. We're going to talk about vetoing, Xing, getting rid of one dish from the Thanksgiving table. What do you think has to go?
Save those answers.
Save those answers. We're going to do this tomorrow. And then you're going to have to justify your argument.
Ooh,
I know.
I like it. There's going to be like references and footnotes.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin across the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Shaw, WAUK.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
This is the Shaw WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Greg Bach with me in studio. Calvin is on the board, and you can join us at 844-967-2789.
Festival! A party.
Don't confuse people.
I'm being fun. I'm being fun, Jane.
844-967-2789. If you're watching the live...
I've read the notes. People say I'm not fun enough.
Oh, is that? Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not fun enough.
Oh, you're plenty fun.
Okay.
You're plenty fun.
Party.
All right, we were talking about pardoning. The pardoning of the turkeys happened today. President Biden pardoned the turkeys. And then we started talking about whether or not Craig Council, former Brewers manager, deserves to be pardoned after leaving the crew to join the Cubs for a whole bunch of money. Mike from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Mike. What do you think?
Hi. Yes, definitely Craig Council deserves a pardon. He's a local guy. He's always been good. No scandals, no anything. He's a good dude. It's the organization is not being run well. That's where it comes from, and it goes to the owner, it goes to the front office, and I can't blame the guy. I'm sorry. Like he did his best for a long time, and he got us as far as he could for a long time, and that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks a lot, Mike. Yeah. That's pretty much what you had said too.
No crime was committed.
I don't have a problem with him going to the Cubs. I wish him well. I wish his family well.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Stop vandalizing park signs,
yeah,
people.
Yeah, don't do that, folks. That's just...
Yeah, it's gonna suck, especially if it's opening day, if they play them. We have to see them like a dozen plus times next year. I think 14 times next season.
Oh, wow.
And it will just be difficult because, you know, it's difficult to watch. It was difficult to watch Orlando Arcia get on Atlanta and do really well. It sucks when your guys leave.
But as you said, that is a reflection of team management.
Absolutely.
Not Craig Council as the manager.
Mike was right. This is about front office. This is about ownership. This is about looking at your team and not like, I don't know. I just don't get it. I've actually had fantasies lately about winning the lottery and buying the Brewers. I mean, like sitting down, Mark Antonazzi being like, how much is your price tag? And he's like, as a joke, being like, I'll take $5 billion, but I'll give you $10 billion, clean out your desk, and never come back to this state. My
goodness.
It's the ultimate showing of these millionaires playing with their toys. You know?
I don't disagree.
This team means something to this city and this state.
That's true.
People outside of the state. And to just be like, well, we'll just do this and do that. It's like, you don't take us seriously, then you don't care about us and how we feel. And you don't care about these players either. Some of these guys want to stay here.
What is his motivation then to not shell out more money? He just doesn't want to spend more money?
I think he wants to make as much money without spending it, honestly. He doesn't care about getting a ring. He doesn't care about them moving forward and becoming the best team they can. It's about making as much money as possible without spending it. Like there are some guys like George Steinbrenner just wanted rings. Just wanted rings.
Shelled out constantly.
Money was no object with this man. He would pay hundreds of millions of dollars and do it in a way to say like, oh, you want that player? I'll throw $50 million more on the contract. Mark Antanasio, and there are other owners, I'm sure, I know for sure, who are just like, this is my investment. It's an investment to them. Baseball teams are surefire investments. This team is worth, I think, 10 times more than what he paid for it originally, or 5 or 10 times.
Wow.
So it's like, so for him, he has no attachment to this city, to this team. It's an investment. And he's buying up soccer teams and he's doing other things. Like, sell it to a group, a family, or somebody who's going to be like, we want to, even if they're a group, they're like, we want to make more money, but we're going to do that by giving them money to win World Series. I mean, the Lazarys did the same thing with the Bucks.
Right.
And they won a championship, and that, I mean, it's working out real well for them. I mean, I don't think they own it anymore, but they made some good money. So I don't know. It's just, to me, this is another instance of millionaires playing with their toys and breaking them, and we get to pick up the pieces.
Well, and the first thing I thought of when you made that comparison, it's like Robin Voss sitting on $7 billion.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to spend it.
Yeah.
He just wants to sit on it.
He wants to sit on it or spend it in the way he wants to spend it. Instead of, you know, being a cool guy. I'm a cool guy.
You are a cool guy.
I would totally buy the Brewers. And
good to know. When you win the lottery, that's going to be the first thing.
I have
thing.
To win it like 3 times, though.
Yes, you're going to need a lot. That's going to be pricey. It's going to be pricey.
It's going to be hard.
A couple of texts I want to share. Aaron checking in from the 920. People say Greg isn't fun enough. Are we all listening to the same show? They're wrong.
Who said that? Aaron? Aaron who?
Aaron.
Oh, our Aaron?
Our Aaron.
Oh, Aaron, you're so nice.
Absolutely. And then Cindy from Wausau, again, this is something we're going to do tomorrow at 11:33, talking about what dish should be banned from the Thanksgiving table, but you're going to have to justify it. You're going to have to explain your reasoning on why the yams have to go, if that's your thing. Cindy from Wausau checking in. Gravy is the devil's juices. Nasty.
Blocker. Blocked and reported. Blocked and reported. You're out of here.
I did not realize anyone would have that strong of an emotion anti-gravy.
I want more from this. I want. Who's this again?
This was Cindy from Wausau.
Cindy from Wausau, would you do us a favor? If you can tomorrow, call us. I want to know what you don't like about gravy. And like, we're talking like, are you like beef gravy, mushroom gravy, turkey gravy? Was there a thing that happened? It's too salty? It's too bland.
What happened, Cindy?
Yeah. Well,
what happened?
What gravy hurt you, Cindy? What gravy hurt you?
Okay.
Try to be more fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That was very fun. Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you, Greg Buck.
Calvin, are you having fun?
Every single day.
Oh, wow. Okay, there we go.
He's the most contained fun person you've ever seen in your entire life.
Until he gets caliente.
He gets a little spicy sometimes.
Yeah, he gets spicy.
That's not fun, though.
I know. I watch you. You're like, man, I think this 20-something's going to have a heart attack soon.
Also, tomorrow we're going to talk about our cookie exchange.
Yep.
Does your mother, Calvin, realize she is involved in this now?
Yes, I informed her this weekend.
Oh, and good. I have such a great idea for my cookie.
Oh, you do?
I do.
Is it something magical?
You'll find out.
Oh, well, yeah. Now there's a tease.
Yeah, you'll find out.
All right, stick around. Coming up, we have the noon news on the way, followed by the wonderful Todd Alba show.
Yes.
From noon to 2 across the Civic Media Radio Network. We are always lucky to have him being willing to take an hour out of his morning every Monday to join us from 10 to 11. So we really enjoy
Thank you,
talking
Todd
to
Father.
Todd Father. And then following Todd's show at 2 o'clock, it is Matt Flynn Direct, followed by the Devil's Advocates. You can listen to all the shows. You can download the podcasts. You can do all those things. Go to civicmedia.us or download the Civic Media app. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Calvin. Thank you all. Have a wonderful day. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM.
Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM.
This is The Shaw, WAUK. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You probably
heard the quote, friends are family you choose. It's also the idea behind the other Thanksgiving holiday, Friendsgiving. Some credit shows, like Friends, for starting this trend by featuring a day meant to celebrate with those who aren't your relatives. And when to gather is up to you. Many celebrate just before Thanksgiving, while others wait until after the official holiday. However you celebrate, all of us with your local civic media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.